This is The Blitz.
Hour number two is live here on The Blitz, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Thanks for tuning in with us. We got 1 hour in the books. 1 hour still to go.
No, Brandon, the ridiculous thing, the most ridiculous thing I ever heard Rick say was that Lil Wayne was the king of hip-hop.
First of all, you misquoted. He said he's the father.
The father,
not the king.
Not the
king. Father.
Yeah. The father of hip-hop, Lil Wayne.
Yeah,
That might be the most craziest thing that I've heard.
I did clarify it to our generation.
This statement.
But that was later.
This statement during the break was pretty outrageous.
I don't think it got the kind of flack. Like, I basically just said that the moon was made of cheese, and y'all's reaction was like that. That's what y'all's reaction was.
That's what it sounded
like. Me saying a fairly decent sports point was acted like there is water in space. That's all there is. Space is literally just water. That's what I apparently claimed over the break.
We like the
it
NBA a lot.
It wasn't that crazy.
We like the NBA a lot, so we were talking about it. We were getting hype about it. We're talking about our teams. You know, Wes is asking who's everybody's favorite team. Rick comes back into the studio, and he goes, "I think Luka and Kristaps Porzingis are the best duo in the NBA."
No, hold on.
No.
Best duo for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
They'll be the best duo for the next 5 years.
Yeah. And I don't think that's that crazy. You have the rookie of the year who's literally 20 years old. So you got to think at the end of this 5 years, he's going to be 25. Kristaps just turned 24, so he's going to be 29.
Anthony Davis is going to be prime age, and you got LeBron.
But LeBron's going to be old.
I feel like
he might not be. I know, but in 5 years, like at some point, all these guys come up with it. I mean, there's a lot of great duos out there.
Kawhi and Paul George.
All I'm saying is that, you know, when you got a guy who's 20 years old and you got another guy who's 24.
You still have Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Like, there's a lot of Giannis and I don't know who else is his sidekick. He doesn't have one.
I think Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, like, I think that Kristaps and Luka are probably right there with them. No doubt. I think that's not that
I do like.
If I had said, you know,
you still have
Mark Gasol and Ja Morant. Like, I know Gasol doesn't play there, but if I had just given you two scrubs, like, that would have been something else.
I gave you
a rookie of the year and a guy who's considered one of the top five guys under the age of 25 easily.
Well, you'll
so
still
don't come at me like that's the most outrageous take.
He's been hurt.
He can't stay healthy.
Yeah, and Kristaps been hurt, and it's Lucas.
Can't stay healthy. The guy he did have a knee injury. He's taken the last 22 months off basketball. The doctor said for Klay Thompson, he said, "Hey, Klay, the ideal sitting time for an ACL tear is about 2 years." And obviously, you know, basketball players and sports players, they don't take that long. Kristaps had 2 full years to get this knee injury. If there's another knee injury, it's because of the freak nature of the game.
Okay, here's a list of the top 10 best duos in the NBA.
Currently. Yeah, I would say we're at the back end of the top 10.
You are
sure.
Number 10, Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. Both have high offensive IQs. The article highlights the limits that will keep them from moving up is their growth on the defensive end. But if a healthy Porzingis, this team could be a playoff.
How would you quantify this?
That's what I was thinking.
You're talking about like their.
Like, how would you determine, like, 5 years from now?
Oh, for Rick quantifying. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I just think that you see them as two of the top, you know, few players in the league. Two of the top 10, top 15. And I think if you got two of the top 15 players in the league, that's a pretty darn good duo. And I think that's where we're headed.
I'll give you that. But it's going to be, as this talks about, like we talked about, obviously the health of KP. And they both do have to get a lot better at defense. Both of them.
Yeah, I mean, Luka's not good at defense
at all.
Rick, I'll let you have it since your Cowboys suck so bad and lost to the Jets.
You're not letting me have it. I feel like I just proved my point very well there.
Number nine was.
I feel like I just dominated my point.
Nine is Jokic and Murray in Denver. I got to keep going through them now. Eight is Giannis and Chris Middleton. I guess that's his sidekick. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid come down late in this one. James Harden, Russell Westbrook at six. Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum at five. seems a little high. The Splash Brothers at 4, like Brandon highlighted earlier. KD and Kyrie, we didn't even talk about that one. They're the number 3 best duo. Number 2, LBJ and Anthony Davis. And number 1, no surprise here, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
Yeah, that just, to me, that gets me so amped up for the NBA season. Like, I can't tell you how much I love that we're out
of
the big 3 area.
Your guys are good. If they get one other great player with them, I guess they, who's the point guard that they have right now? I mean, they got Luka, but didn't they have a pretty good backup?
It's DeLon Wright right now, and then
Luka plays the 2.
Well, Luka's the main ball handler. It's just that DeLon's there to guard the 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think
they still have Yogi?
No, Yogi Ferrell is big
on.
Number 11. I loved Yogi.
He came home for a nice spark.
Yogi was a lot of fun. But so anyways, yeah, you're right. NBA season starts a week from today. That's exciting. We'll be covering that a lot on this show.
Is Rick Carlisle still there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been there for
he'll
50
never
years.
Yeah. Dirk's last year, right?
Dirk's gone.
Oh, Dirk, he's not coming back
this year. This is our first season without Dirk.
That's right. He did say he was done.
And it's sad. We painted the silhouette on the court.
Everybody,
cool.
But everybody in the NBA pretty much made him retire. It was so funny that he had never said he was going to retire.
I know. Like when Doc Rivers grabbed the mic, you know, and he was like, oh, we're not giving this guy a standing ovation. He's one of the best of the league ever. It was like, man, well, we don't know if he's leaving yet. Come on, man.
That's the only thing that kind of sucked for Dirk. It was kind of cringeworthy. And not like even his play. He had some okay games toward the end of his career, but just the fact that he hadn't really said he was going to retire.
It
but
shows the
everybody,
respect that everyone has for him, but it's also like, well, you're kind of pushing him out.
Everybody made him retire. So I thought that was kind of funny. But no, the NBA is going to be – that's going to be fun for us. We'll talk about it a little bit. We'll have to do some preseason awards, go ahead and get some predictions out one day before, maybe the day before the season starts. I'm pretty excited. I don't know how many of our listeners. It's starting to grow a little bit more. You got a lot of Hawks fans around this town.
Yeah.
If there was a team closer than where Memphis was, does Nashville eventually get an NBA team? Because everything seems like it's just migrating to Nashville. They're talking about the MLB baseball stadium that they could build. Could Nashville survive? Could an NBA team thrive in Nashville?
Yeah, that it does seem like a lot of things.
It seems like it'd be a better pick than Memphis,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I feel like that it would be better than Memphis.
Yeah, like you'd have East and West Tennessee residents who would drive to it. You know, it's going to be a little bit drive for us, but I mean, it'd be right there in the epicenter of like where all the entertainment and everything's happening now. It'd make a lot of sense.
You put them in Bridgestone, I think it'd work fine.
Yeah, like a lot of teams do
now.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Share it with the hockey team. I think it would do fine.
Speaking
we'll need to lobby that.
Of Nashville.
Oh, God.
Are we going to start talking about
Brandon,
Predators
we are sorry. That's you had a crappy weekend Nashville-wise. Why don't you go ahead and tell us basically what happened leading up to it.
Where were you going? What was happening?
All right, so back in probably August.
Okay.
Cody and I bought tickets to see a new band.
Who was it?
Greta Van Fleet.
The political commentator?
No. No, not Greta Van Susteren.
Weston have been Filet sitting on that for a while. Hey,
yeah,
I liked it.
You had to be sitting on that because you were so ready.
I liked it.
Greta Van Fleet.
He's had that one in the barrel.
Oh, weird looking bunch.
Michigan-based blues rock band. They're pretty good.
Sound like they're on LSD or something.
I was pumped to see them. And so yesterday or Sunday was the concert.
This guy's got a perm.
These guys are hippies.
Yeah, they are.
Sorry. I never heard of them before, and I finally searched image search. Sorry. Go ahead, Brandon. Excuse me.
So the concert's Sunday. Cody and I are like, okay, what time should we leave? We'll leave about, 3:30 or 4.
On Sunday?
Yeah. Concert was at 8 Central Time.
Oh, so you guys were just trying to – you didn't want to get there early. You just wanted to get there right when the concert started.
Yep. So we roll in. Traffic heading to Nashville was terrible.
Always is. That was your first mistake. You got to leave early in the morning, guys.
I mean, it's usually not that bad.
No, it's bad all the time now just because of all the construction everywhere.
No, but it wasn't even there. It was wrecks.
That's another thing.
One
so
in,
many more people.
Like Crossville, and then we got to Lebanon, and there was a wreck on the interstate there. It's like, oh, my God. And we were pushing it. We ended up getting to the parking garage at 7:30 Central. So we had 30 minutes to work with.
Gotcha.
Okay, so we get there. We pull into, we're coming right up on the auditorium where they're playing. seemed a little dead.
Seemed a little off.
And I was like, ah, this is weird, but okay.
Okay, so you're still cruising around, though.
So then we find a parking garage. We go in the parking garage. We're going up to we park and get the tickets, get out of the car.
And you're pretty amped at this point, I can imagine.
Yeah, parking garage was pretty empty.
Okay.
So we're like,
you still thought that was
fishy.
A little weird.
I wonder where everybody's at.
Just like, this is like an hour before concert.
Like 30 minutes.
30 minutes, not even an hour.
Maybe
where
everyone
the
just
hell
went with
is
Uber?
Everybody?
So there are some ladies standing over by the by the elevator.
So Brandon and Cody go to Mac.
We go up to pay the pay to park machine.
Okay.
And we're about to pay and put our stuff in, and one of these ladies looks over and asks me, she says, y'all here for the concert? Yeah. Yeah, we are. So you're not about to pay the machine, are you? I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's exactly what we were doing, lady.
And then we're going to go to the concert. She's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. I'm like, oh, excuse
that's
me.
That's all she said was just, no, you're not?
Excuse me.
She denied the fact that you were going there?
Cody and I were sitting there confused. Like, it's canceled. Yeah, they canceled like 5 hours ago. And then she proceeds to pull up an article. And then Cody and I look on Twitter at their official Twitter account and see that they indeed had canceled the show about 5 hours before the show was supposed to start.
Oh, guys. Oh.
I mean, who would have thought to look?
I know. Nobody looks, but it is a good lesson, right? If you're ever traveling for something like that,
nobody
you got to
look. I do things like that. I look. I've never, like, had it happen where I got to a show, but I'm a real, like, big, like, when I go to, like, I went to Travis Scott and Dave Matthews, last two concerts. I get real nerded out when I'm going to a concert.
Oh, I thought they were together. I was like, you went to a Travis Scott and Dave Matthews concert?
Dave Matthews was in May at Bridgestone. Travis Scott was in, like, March. But
that would be
I get real geeked out and I listen to the music all day, but I also go to the Twitter handles of the artist, or like I search the artist like at Bridgestone, so like to see what everybody's talking about before I go.
Well,
didn't help you out.
No, I mean
you might have wanted that tip had you talked to me sooner. But
why didn't you just say something? You knew I was going. You knew I was going.
That's true. I didn't know you were going. I didn't know who. I also didn't have a lot of interest, because I didn't know who Greta Van Fleet was until like the day you came back, or not yesterday, but yesterday when Cody came here and I asked him about it.
So
that sucks.
After they tell us that it's canceled, we're just sitting there in disbelief, like, this is ridiculous. I mean, we just drove. It should have took us 2.5 hours. It took us 4 hours to get here.
Wow.
Now what? We had a hotel room that we had not checked into yet. We didn't know if it was too late to cancel, so we make some calls, see if we can cancel it. We couldn't cancel the hotel room.
Really?
So it's like, do we head home and just eat the hotel room?
Just take your L.
Or what do we do? So we're sitting thinking, and then we finally make the call to just, we're in Nashville. Might as well just have a good time. So, went to a place called Clyde's.
Okay.
Enjoyed a few pitchers.
Okay.
Met one of Cody's friends down there. And then I had a buddy who was playing at one of the honky-tonks down there. And we went and saw him. So we made the most of it.
Well, you certainly did. I mean, you kind of got handed a pretty terrible hand there.
They rescheduled the
show. Although, in hindsight, you could have folded before the flop came down. But, you know, it all well.
Are you going back, or are you getting a refund?
I don't know. We've not decided yet. December 16th is when they've rescheduled.
Oh, but they give you the option. You can get your money back, or you can just go to the next show.
I think. So,
how much do you like the band?
I like them a lot. I mean, I lost respect. I lost respect for them on Sunday.
Did they have a good reason to cancel?
Their lead singer's been battling the flu.
Oh, what do you want him to do, Brandon? You want him to stick out some ordinary Joe off the street that they found at the honky-tonk?
No, I wanted to let everybody know sooner so I can have plenty of time to not drive to Nashville and waste my time.
I'll put it this way. Since they owe you a show, they'll probably put on a much better show.
They better.
Have you ever seen them live before?
No.
Oh, so no, they've only you're going to be thrilled anyways.
They've only been putting out music for like 2 or 3 years.
I feel like you just got to go with it. A lot of great concerts in Nashville. Elton John's coming soon.
Yeah.
To Bridgestone. I didn't get tickets to that. I wish I would have.
I got tickets, not to Nashville, but we're going to Atlanta.
Really? To Elton John? Oh, yeah. Man, nice.
Are you going to go to...
Hopefully that one doesn't get canceled.
Which one? What was the big one that Wesner brought up last week?
I will be...
Was it the Eagles?
Garth is
oh,
coming
yeah,
to
Eagles
stadium
coming
tour?
To Atlanta. Atlanta.
Are you going to go to
in
that
February,
one?
In February, yes.
That's Brandon's favorite band.
The Eagles? Love Hotel the California?
I'll probably be there as well.
Will you guys carpool?
Yeah, you should go together.
I hope Vince Gill's still
nice,
with him.
Vince Gilligan? Creator of Breaking Bad?
Has Vince Gill been touring with the Eagles?
Yeah, where you been?
Vince Gill, where the Cowgirls Go? Or whatever song he had back in the 90s?
Yeah. Go
Rest the Cowgirls Do?
Yeah. Yeah, that Vince Gill.
That Vince Gill. Interesting. I did not know he was touring with the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's like,
has been
like,
for a while.
Kind of like John Mayer's touring with the remaining singers of the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
The more you know.
I'd like to hear
also,
that.
Also, what was it? Adam Lambert tours with Queen.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a performance during I think it was the Oscars that Bohemian Rhapsody was nominated for. I believe that's how they opened it, with Queen and Adam Lambert.
Elton John doing two shows in Atlanta. That's how you know it's real.
Yeah, we're going to the first night.
Yeah, I might try to get that one in Charlotte.
Tickets, very expensive.
Very expensive. I wonder if they're more expensive than Dave Matthews.
Have you seen you seen the Elton John movie yet?
No.
Do you have any interest in it?
Maybe.
I think Bohemian Rhapsody.
Woo, these tickets are high.
Really?
I told you.
Are they
right?
Wow.
Yeah. They're pretty expensive.
Cheapest ticket, $300.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's not even a.
And that's nosebleeds?
To get down on the floor, cheapest ticket is $732.
Jeez.
It's a farewell tour.
Yep. Yeah. To get up near the stage. Oh, it's not too bad. That is pretty bad.
I would like to watch Rocket Man, but I want to see Bohemian Rhapsody again first.
Why?
Yeah, why do you have to see the other one first?
Yeah.
Well, I really like Bohemian Rhapsody. I like Queen more. I'm not too big of an aficionado in Elton John, so I don't really know a ton about him in the first place.
Do yourself a favor.
What if I went to Perth, Australia in December to watch the Farewell Yellow Brick Road? See how his tickets are there.
You can check them out.
Factor in a plane ticket. We'll see how much that'll be costing.
Unavailable.
Oh, okay.
They're sold out in Australia. They're big Elton John fans in Australia.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like that one will be on the bucket list, but we'll figure out which one it'll be. 865-546-8200. That is your number to call into the show. Go ahead. You can talk about whatever you want. Tennessee, NFL, Elton John. Doesn't matter. We'll catch a quick break. We'll see you on the other side. This is the Blitz, Fan Run Radio. 11:22 a.m. here, back on the Blitz. Rick, Chance, Brandon, and Weston. Full crew coming at you for about, I don't know, 30 minutes or so more. So, in case you missed it, 3 Tennessee volunteers were added to the College SEC Team of the Week on Monday for their performances on Saturday. Trey Smith, Nigel Warrior, Darrell Taylor, all recognized in their efforts. From Tennessee's 20-10 victory over the Dogs.
Good for them.
Yeah. And I think those probably were three standout players, I would say, and at least you can kind of break it down to those guys. I mean, Trey Smith was huge at kind of cementing the offensive line. We know that they had an improved week. Darrell Taylor was just an animal all game long. And then you had Nigel Warrior, who easily, the defensive back's best game of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he played well. Like I said, the guys, defensive backs been stepping up. Like you even talked about, you know, Bryce Thompson coming up, kind of being aggressive and laying some hits at times, too. Although I'd like for him to wrap up more instead of just trying to shoulder drive somebody.
Yeah, hit the big hit.
Yeah, get the hit stick hit. But defensive line, there's not too much that you can say about that performance, just because there was no denying what Brandon said. They had a pass rush wreaking havoc the entire game, and outside of letting the quarterback run through the middle and get upfield through the seams and find a way, that's the worst thing the defensive line like actually did, and the defense probably as well. All around, pretty good game for the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, both sides of the ball. Great game for the defense when, you know, you let up Mississippi State's season lows in points and total yards. And then on the other side of the thing, I mean, the offensive line gave up one sack and 190 yards on the ground. Great game all around. Did you see Pruitt's comments yesterday?
I did. One thing before we go to those.
Oh, sure.
Jeremy Pruitt may suck in when it comes to the rest of the SEC, but make no doubt, there is no doubt Jeremy Pruitt owns the podunk Cal colleges of the SEC West.
Really?
Auburn and Mississippi State. He owns them.
Calling them podunk?
Yeah. There's nothing there.
Yeah, I mean, he's done well against the SEC West. I know I saw a stat earlier that was showing what, I mean, Butch was 0-10, Dooley was like 0-6, Kevin was 0-2.
Yeah.
He's 2-1, and he's going to be 2-2 after this week. But, I mean, he's gotten SEC West wins. Got to give him credit for that.
Dooley had one.
Did he have one?
He beat Ole Miss in 2010 when we went on that four-game winning streak to go 6-6.
Huh?
Really?
Did he?
Yep.
We beat Memphis. A little misinformed.
We beat Memphis, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Vanderbilt to close out 6-6.
Well, look at the big brain. Good memory. Fly a fish. It was a big win versus Ole Miss. That was 52-14.
This is why you get paid the big bucks, Weston.
Tyler Bray went ham. 323 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tarn Poole had 2 touchdowns. Justin Hunter had 2 grabs.
But no, Pruitt's
and their quarterback was Jeremiah Masoli. Started that whole graduate transfer thing.
Name sounds familiar.
Played at Oregon. And then he went and found the loophole to play at Ole Miss because they weren't offering the same graduate program that he wanted at Oregon. And that kind of really started it for as far as big names doing the whole graduate transfer thing that I remember.
But Pruitt's comments yesterday, I didn't mean to sidetrack you, Rick.
You're good.
Which ones were you...
I'm referring to the ones where he was talking about the new game plan to beat Alabama.
Oh, you think it's funny, Rick?
I'm going to be honest. I thought it was hilarious.
You think it's funny?
I thought it was genuinely
hilarious.
Did
Jeremy think he made it?
Am I amusing to you? Do I make you laugh?
Yeah.
Am I a clown? Do I make you laugh?
Is your life a comedy instead of a tragedy?
No.
Oh. I hope not. I hope you're not following that route.
I didn't think it was funny. What Pruitt said.
Can I hear the comments?
Yes, you can.
You've not heard it?
I don't know what he said.
No. Rick has to borrow your cord.
Yeah, go for it.
Yes, please.
I thought you were just going to tell me.
Let me close out of the XFL draft real quick. Hopefully there's what no sound
How's that going?
Through. I'm going to be honest. I totally forgot about it since the last time we talked because I don't have any interest in the XFL. All right, here it is. So these are Jeremy Pruitt's comments yesterday during his media availability. Here we go.
Jimmy, I'm sure you have no intention of, you know, giving us your game plan for this week, but with Henry out for a bit there, how many options are there at that spot, and how creative do y'all have to get? Is there anything kind of left in the cupboard to throw out there?
You know, I was thinking about, you know, there's a high school team over in Arkansas. You know, they always onside kick, okay? They never punt, you know, because I don't know. I've never seen them play. I always hear people talk about it, you know. In fact, they played one of the high school teams here in our state this year. Somebody was talking about it. So, you know, we've really kind of considered that as our game plan. Just don't give them the ball, you know, if we can do that.
Jimmy, I'm sure you have –
I don't think that he was kidding.
Are you
You
serious?
Said you thought it was funny. No, I don't think he was kidding. Did you hear him laugh?
I don't really.
I believe he was kidding.
He's not like an overly exuberant kind of guy. I think those are his jokes, right? Like, I think he's like the Kawhi Leonard type, right? Where even where he makes a joke, it's still fairly stone cold. Look, I thought that was some of the most lightheartedness we've seen from Pruitt so far. I thought that was fine. I thought it was kind of funny.
I thought it was I don't necessarily know how funny. I mean, he was trying to make lighthearted of a situation where he knows that his team can't really go in there and shock the world. And if they do it, it's obviously shocking the world to go into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama, the number one team in the country, with this squad that he has. Now, I can't agree. I agree with Rick. It was all jokes.
I gotta be honest. I think he was just, you know, using a chance to, you know, to kind of, you know, get some humor out.
I don't think it was funny.
The delivery or the delivery the or the context?
The context.
Wow.
Come on.
You want him to come out here and get real serious? I mean, obviously he will.
That's what he's done all his whole tenure.
We're going to try to get more turnovers. We're going to run the ball well.
No.
We're going to try to stop their run.
I told my guys that's number one team over there, but you guys got to play for that T on your chest. And I believe you can go out there. And you guys can really put up a good fight. Yeah,
just look at those high school. I like how he says the word school.
Because any given Saturday,
school.
We can go out there and we can beat them too.
Skew.
I used to be the defensive coordinator down there. I can tell you. Like, it doesn't matter.
Your Jeremy Pruitt has a lot of Ed Orgeron in it. I'm going to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, it's got it's a little bit a little of raspy today. Yeah. What a little bit raspy. Of a rasp to it.
The fall weather, the allergies.
Well.
I do like Ed O, though. Edo might be my most favorite coach right now. He might be. He's up there. I can't get enough of Edo in my life.
I'm really glad that LSU isn't like a big rival of Tennessee's, because I kind of do like LSU.
I don't like LSU really. I want them to lose and lose every game, but I like Ed Orgeron.
Really?
I'm okay with LSU.
I like LSU
in the
I
SEC.
Like a lot of Tennessee fans. I know a lot of Tennessee fans that say their second team is LSU for whatever bleeping reason. The Bear likes LSU. You guys,
hold on. I'm not saying they're my second favorite team. But
a lot of people.
I don't mind.
A lot of people like. I'll root for LSU. I don't mind rooting for LSU. Why?
I mean, I'll pull for them against Alabama.
Is it 'cause you like purple and gold?
I think they got the best uniforms in the school in the nation. I think they got
the
best. I think they have the best field in the nation. They're a cool school.
Like, I don't know about their field. I think atmosphere. It's the atmosphere playing Death Valley.
To me, like, I love the eye in the middle of the field. I love how it's not just the LSU logo.
You like the,
I love the different colored end zones.
The 5-yard hash marks.
And that's my favorite. I love the five-yard hash marks.
Well, you know, Rick, why don't you just be an LSU fan?
Sounds like he is.
Well, I'm not.
Why don't you just go?
I don't even have a second favorite team. I just.
Who's
I'm
your
okay
second
with.
Sounds like
team.
You do.
I'm okay Weston, with LSU.
Filet Fish. Who's your second favorite team?
It would be LSU. Like it always has. Our fan bases have always got along for whatever reason. Like going back to
always.
Going back to even the 2001 SEC championship game. I've heard people like. I think we're similar in a lot of ways. Our fan bases. And
I hear a lot of people, and maybe it's just because I also manage a bar. Maybe it's just like bar talk. Like I hear a lot of people always like, you know, like I don't mind LSU. They're kind of my second favorite team. And I'm like, what the hell for? Nick Saban used to be a coach there. Like, get the hell out of here.
Hey, LSU is pretty much our best chance year in and year out of somebody beating Alabama. So I'm always going to be pulling for them at least one week a year,
hard. Do we not forget one Hugh Freezes when he was with Ole Miss? I mean, like LSU last year was all hyped up,
but Ole Miss also had like other reasons to kind of be like, these guys are just, this is kind of a scummy school.
Texas A&M, Kevin Sumlin
sucks.
He does suck.
Yeah,
but
they're trash.
He had a good quarterback. It's not LSU has a good chance to beat Alabama every year. It's if whoever has a good quarterback in the West. Has a chance to beat Alabama is going to be who has the best chance. When Auburn has had good quarterback play, they've been able to beat Alabama. When LSU, this is the first year they've had good quarterback play in a long time, and they might be able to beat them. They couldn't beat them in the past in national championship, and then last year there was a lot of hype, and then we saw what happened then. It's just good quarterback play is what can beat them.
Brandon, real quick, we talked about this yesterday. Alabama number one, LSU number two. Do you think that LSU should be ranked above Bama?
No.
Why?
I mean, it really doesn't matter right now, does it? But to answer your question, I don't know. I mean.
Well, I think it does matter right now.
Alabama's not done it. Like, I don't really see. I mean, Alabama's not done anything to lose it.
Yeah.
I mean, they've. Beat everybody they played by 50 points.
I think that's pretty much what we were saying yesterday is that to me, when you're the number one team in the country, it's hard to lose the number one spot until you yourself lose it. If you're anywhere else, two through the rest, you know, the strength of schedule can absolutely hurt you. But I think that where the strength of schedule cannot hurt you is when you're number one. And again, like we said it yesterday too, like even if you want to put LSU over like Alabama because Alabama hasn't played anybody, does anybody still think that like Alabama's going to slip up at some point? Like everyone still believes that they're the best at pretty much everything, even though they haven't faced a great team yet. Nobody's like, man, this overhyped Alabama squad. Just wait until they play somebody. It's like, yeah, just wait until they play somebody when they're probably going to win and cement themselves where they are.
I mean, their offense is just crazy. I mean, they just throw the ball up, receiver catches it, boom, score. I mean, they can score at will. They could score 100 points. No joke. They could score 100 points on Saturday if they wanted to.
Wash, rinse, and repeat.
Good thing it's at 9 o'clock. Everybody will be asleep.
Yeah. There you go.
And it is the best game that you have to choose from that night. So not a lot of other games to divert your attention.
Hey, make plans for Sunday because you can get a good night's sleep on Saturday. Be asleep by 11 p.m. You won't miss anything, guaranteed. We'll be right back after this here on The Blitz. Baseball is just like, hey, if you can collect this much money, then you can give it away. And so I think for a lot of these, you know, maybe guys like Mike Trout are the exception, right? You pay for Mike Trout, the best baseball player of all time.
Well, I think that the market and even teams, they showed that they're not going to do that, though. Yep. With Ronald Acuna, think about his extension he got. He likely, a couple years ago, you think a guy like that gets a lot more than what he get. Braves, they didn't decide to break the bank with him. The way that the Padres, when they signed Machado and Harper getting his money, and even Trout got a lot of money, but I mean, there was people who thought that he was going to get $500, $600 million contract, and it's like $480 or something.
Yeah, it's still the most ever.
It's still the most ever.
And I think Acuna was the first one, like 21 years or older, younger to get that. I'm not even gonna act like I know what the number is, but he got that one. But
it's like $103 million.
Yeah, there is something that crazy to be said about how, you know, a lot of these teams are looking at their guys and they're saying, hey, man, we can pay you $300 million, but also we could use that to improve 50% of our roster, right? Even with just a couple little positions, right? You can maybe get three guys who can strongly help your team, like what the Nationals did with that $300 million. Instead of paying for one person in Bryce Harper.
Yeah, Mike Trout got $430 million, Bryce Harper $330, Giancarlo Stanton $325, Manny Machado was $300. That was the ones, those topped out Alex Rodriguez, who was the previous contract because he had $275 million with the Yankees.
Padres not in the playoffs, Phillies not in the playoffs.
Angels not in the playoffs.
Yeah. The Yankees are.
I feel like this is a trend in a lot of sports, going for the rookie deals and trying to build a young team with, you know, a few cheaper veterans. Like, one of the most valuable things in the NFL is a good rookie on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
You saw the Seahawks win it with Russell Wilson on his rookie contract.
You
saw the Rams make a run. You saw the Eagles make a run.
The Chiefs are doing it right now.
They're trying to build their defense
because they know they don't have to give the biggest contract ever away yet.
Yeah, Nolan Arenado, that's another one who got a big extension this year.
Rockies didn't make the playoffs.
Miguel Cabrera you can go on, Robinson Cano of Seattle. Albert Pujols, when he signed his big contract back in 2012.
They have really not made the
playoffs. What have they done with Pujols?
Often.
I mean, Trout is the franchise now. It's not even Pujols. He's on his way out. So there is something to say, and I think that ball clubs have started to figure out too. We don't have to give the guys the big money. We can actually build through a farm system. Look at what the Braves have done. Look at what the Astros have done. Look at what the Cardinals have done over the years, building through their farm system.
The Cubs.
Yeah, like you can go on and on. The A's. The Twins were just in the playoffs. The Tampa Bay
Rays,
who can't get anybody to come to their baseball games, are still they were in the playoffs. So, yeah, you don't have to go out and break the bank and make these big, you know, like lavish contracts for these guys. Because baseball is a sport where one guy, although he can do a lot, he can't do it all. There's so many more facets of the game. The pitching, you know, fielding from the other eight players, your relief pitchers. There's so many things where it's not like a basketball or football where one guy can really propel you to a victory each time.
Yeah, and, you know, you got to consider there's 162 games in a season minus all the best of five and best of seven playoff series. You know, so you got to have depth. You know, one player taking up $400 million of your payroll, there's a lot that you got to leave out with when that happens. So, baseball, a beautiful and a weird sport.
So, on tap tonight, we have the Astros and Yankees, and they'll go ahead and first pitch will be at 4:08 today. They got the early game. That series tied at 1-1. And then Cardinals-Nationals tonight for the nightcap, 8:05. Nationals leading 3-0, looking to close it out in D.C., heading to the World Series. Come back. You guys want to make some picks on these games?
Yeah.
865-546-8200. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the Next Door Home Group Hotline with us, listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Industry, negotiation, customer service skills unmatched. As always, visit nextdoorhomes.com or give them a call at 865-233-9461. That's 865-233-9461. Eli Corman, the Next Door Home Group with Keller Williams. So, last call. Let's go ahead and get our predictions out real quick, fellas. Let's go Astros, Yankees first, the early game. Who you got, Brandon Orick?
Who's pitching?
Garrett Cole versus Severino.
In game three. Trying to set him up for game three and game seven.
Do not pick against Cole.
I'm going Astros. I'll go Astros.
Garrett Cole's won his last 18 decisions.
Yeah.
Make it 19.
It's nasty. Rick's going Astros. I am also going to go Astros. Garrett Cole's too nasty. I think that he's probably due for a bad outing, but it doesn't seem like it when you've won 18 straight. Give me the Astros and Cole.
I'll go Yankees, just being first game in New York. Crowd should be electric. So, yeah, give me the Yankees tonight.
The nightcap, 8:05. The Cardinals taking on Brandon Orick's Nationals to try and close it out and sweep and move on to the World Series. Filet of fish, who you got?
Very funny.
I'm going to go with St. Louis here. I think they sneak one out. I don't think they get swept. Probably go back to St. Louis next game, probably five games.
Yeah, I'm going to go with St. Louis too. I think they pull one out here, but then they'll have to worry about seeing Scherzer, I guess, in game five. Max Scherzer should be back, give him 3 days rest. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Cardinals and say they sneak and get one.
Going Nationals for the
Nationals
sweep.
For the sweep. Rick Butler, who you got?
I'm going to agree. I think Nationals take it home tonight.
Nice. Sounds good. That'll do it for MLB action. Yeah, I mean, Nationals, I mean, they will have a very electrified crowd tonight. Those guys are going to be – they're already a good baseball town anyways. When you talk about the DMV, you know, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, those people come out for their professional sports, whether it's hockey and, you know, even the Redskins. They're still cheering on their Redskins. But it's going to be a tough one, though. I'm still going to go Cardinals.
To me, too, it's like I know that the night game is still going to be good baseball, and I'll turn it on if I get around to it, but – you know, it just it doesn't do a lot to amp me up. At 4:00 though, I will be tuned in immediately to first pitch of Astros Yankees. I cannot wait. That is that's the baseball that I want to see. Those are the teams I'm most interested in. So we got those games coming up tonight. But for us, that wraps it up for the day. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. For Weston Brown, for Chance Collins, for Brandon Orick, I am Rick Butler. We'll see you back same time, same place tomorrow, 10:00 sharp. Talk Sports coming up next. Do not miss their show. It's going to be a great one. We'll see you back tomorrow. You've been listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.